outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday, September 26th. A very windy day in L.A.
It is so windy.
Yes.
It's like debris hitting the car and I'm like, oh man.
I know, I was blown away this morning. And I woke up, remember I told you yesterday there was a spider outside
on the
patio,
right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, this morning I'm about to get out and I'm seeing this, like about to open the patio door.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the spider with a beautiful web. I mean, a complete intricate web.
Oh, wow. So
yeah.
It went all out.
But right in my face, you know, I mean, as I'm looking, I'm like totally blown away by this. And I'm thinking, I need to kill this thing or it's going to like keep attacking me all the time. So I somehow got rid of it. I didn't kill it. I just sort of chased it away and broke the web and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so beautiful. It's amazing how they do that, like overnight, you know.
Oh, I know.
It was just there, you know.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Like in
I know
pictures,
sometimes
yeah.
they can make like a perfect web.
Yeah.
You know, like there is such thing. It's crazy.
There is such thing, definitely. Yeah. And I ruined it for it. What can I do? You know?
Well, I'll make new one somewhere.
Yeah,
else.
Who wants a spider crawling on them, you know?
You know, at least you didn't kill him.
Yeah, no, I didn't kill him, but I may have to if he doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
But,
well, what would you do? Just put him like over the ledge? I mean, how'd you chase him out? You're just like, shoo.
Yeah,
like,
in fact, with the broom. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was with the broom.
All right. Like, I don't know how effective that would be. Just like waving your hands at a spider.
No,
like, Black Widow,
waving.
The most like ominous of all, you know, ominous and dangerous of all spiders. Just like, shoo, get along now, on your way. Like it's a freaking mouse or something, a little rodent. Like, shoo.
How would you deal with it? I mean, do you like spiders? You don't like spiders, right? Most women hate spiders.
Nope.
Yeah.
I could handle it. I'd probably go get my spider spray and stand like 20 feet back and just hold it up and...
The spider sprays or you mean just any spray for bugs?
Well, if I don't have spider spray, then Windex is always my next best option.
Yeah, that would work, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would kill him.
That's my thing, man. Windex is like, I can never have enough Windex in my house. If you notice, like, I'll have Windex in the bathroom and in the kitchen and in the living room and in my bedroom because
so
it's always on standby
clean.
In case I see a bug. I go, no, here comes the Windex.
Oh, I thought you were keeping your place clean.
Oh, I mean, well, you know that too, but mostly for the bugs.
I see.
Actually.
So it's like weapons all around the house.
It is. I know.
So listen, I'm glad you came in because you said you're sick.
I know.
Well.
Not exactly 100% today, but you know, it happens.
Yeah, I know. Well,
it's okay. At least our in-studio guest today is my mother, so it's not like some random person that's like, oh no, don't get close to me. You'll get me sick. I
mean, that's true.
She's been around me being sick like, you know, for 23 years now, so I think she could, she can handle another day of that, but
yeah, that's cool. Yeah, Mia brought her mom in. We're gonna get to her in a few minutes. We're also gonna have a phone guest who is a best-selling author, Lisa Renee Jones, and she was supposed to come in, but she couldn't, so we're gonna do it on the phone, and she's written some series and. Some great books and stuff, so we're going to talk to her about that. It's like looks like romance novels, maybe some young readers' books, I don't know.
Lovely.
Looks to me a lot of pictures like 50 Shades of Grey, so what do I know, right?
Oh.
We'll find out.
Oh, my ears just perked up. Hello, what about 50 Shades of Grey? I'm here, I'm listening.
A whole series.
I'm okay. What's that? What about 50 Shades of Grey? Dang. I know. I still haven't finished the third book, but I read the first two.
Yeah.
In like 2 seconds, and then I don't know what happened. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was reading something else and then forgot about it, but I got to finish it. I think it's just because I don't want to finish it.
Oh,
you
really?
Know? Like,
yeah,
I feel like I enjoy, like,
right.
reading that so much.
I know. Sometimes it happens when you like a book so much, you don't want it to end, you know?
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if she, like, continues on, maybe makes, like, a fourth one or something. Mm-hmm. Or maybe not. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, yeah, she will. She'll make more, I'm sure.
I mean, she, you know.
As long as she can make money, she's going to make
killer,
more.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
I know. It's amazing, you know, because she wrote them. She didn't really know she was going to be so successful and everything.
Yeah, yeah. And she's not,
know?
Like, as far as authors go and, like, a good right. read. You know, you can tell she's definitely, you know, inexperienced.
Oh, really?
As far as being an author. I mean, not inexperienced in other ways, clearly. but yeah, no, it's you know.
Yeah.
It's a fun read, for sure.
Okay.
But,
well, what can I say?
Yeah, well, why am I forgetting the author's name? But she wrote 11 of them. I read all 11 of the True Blood books.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I hope she keeps going with that. Oh, Charlene Harris, that's it, I think. Yeah,
Is that many books in the series?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, True Blood. I remember a couple of years ago, I remember the 11th one actually came out, like, legit, like, on my birthday. I remember being like, I have to go to the bookstore to get the 11th True Blood book. Like, such a nerd. Like,
so
I used to do when the Harry Potter books came out.
Yeah.
I was super nerd.
Yeah.
That's I real.
Know. I know. Well, you know, what are you going to do?
I know.
But what was I going to ask you? Do you think, in True Blood, did they make the book series based on the TV show or the other way around?
The book series was first. It was like based on the novels of Sookie Stackhouse.
Okay.
And, so the books were first, and then... But I don't know. I feel like the series has strayed so far from the book. So it's not like, I know it's going to happen. I have no idea.
Right.
They usually changed it around.
Right.
Completely. Which is fine.
Yeah.
You know.
But it's good because they don't want people to know what's going to happen. You know. So they change it around a little bit. Add some color to it. They do that with a lot of movies that are based on books and stuff. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I mean, at first it wasn't, you know, it took me kind of a minute to get into it. I remember I kind of started, like, I came home one day and I think you were watching, like, the second season where there's all, like, everyone's having a crazy orgies, and I'm thinking, mother, what in the f are you watching? She's like, it's this crazy, like, vampire thing. I'm like, okay. I'm thinking, this is really strange. But then when I, you know, I kind of started getting into it, and then I went back and watched the first season, then I completely fell in love with it.
Oh, wow.
So.
Sounds
good.
Yeah,
but it was a little, a bit of a interesting intro to my interest of True Blood, but yeah.
Sounds good. Well, let's bring in your mom, because she's sitting here patiently and waiting for us. Welcome to the show.
Mickey Mouse ears on over my ears. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Of course. And your name is Vera, right?
Yes.
Well, welcome to the show. You flew all the way from Chicago.
Yes, I live
to be
in
here
Chicago.
With us. You came to visit your daughter.
Yes.
And how often do you guys see each other? Like twice a year or something?
Oh,
more?
No.
More than that.
More than that?
No, it seems like every couple months, either you're coming home or I'm coming out here.
Right,
this was maybe almost 3 months since I saw.
Yeah, this felt like a really, really long time.
When did I see July? Yeah, that was about 8 weeks.
Yeah, that's right, because I came
home. That's not too bad.
Like June or July or something.
So you guys stay in touch. You talk on the phone a lot?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Skype.
Yeah. So have you been, you always been close?
Yes.
The two of you?
Yes.
Right. And you're probably close with your son as well, obviously,
yes,
right?
But
not as much.
Independent.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Boys, you know, they get one or two words out of them, so I'm always trying to drag things out of him. But, you know, with a daughter, it's, you know, just, and you have a daughter, you know, it's just constant.
Yeah.
Constant communication.
That's
so.
True, yeah.
Yeah. It was hard, though, when she moved out here. She was 19.
Yeah. Wow,
you know,
that was tough for you, huh?
Yeah, it was. I flew out here. I had 5 days to get her settled.
It was 5 days. See, Pamela's show yesterday, I was like, oh, it was about like a week or so. I didn't even know you weren't even with me for a full week.
I know.
Here.
Well, because I own travel agency, and I couldn't be gone long. While I was gone, our heat went out at the agency.
Right.
So my sister, it's my partner, is calling me. You have to call the landlord. Our heat went out. And I'm like, I'm trying to move my daughter here. And it was just a crazy time. But yeah, it all worked out.
I know. We had my convertible top down and like the freaking
Beverly Hillbillies.
Like suitcases stacked up like you were driving, I think. And then I was trying to like hold the suitcases that, right? Or, you know.
But we stayed in the hotel for the first few nights. And we were apartment hunting. And we found one. But the guy, because she didn't have any credit, you know, he's like, well, I don't know. I said, well, I could co-sign for her. I go, she has no credit, but she has no debt. She has money in the bank.
Exactly.
She could do this. Mm-hmm. And he was this older guy, and he was a little freaking out about it. So.
Yeah, and the place was just like a tiny little like, it was, creepy studio.
Right, it was
studio.
Like
anyway,
a studio. Right.
Remember that first place that we checked out?
Oh, that was scary.
Oh, that was so bad.
It was like half of a garage. And it had burgundy walls and green walls.
Whoa.
And the little refrigerator was in the bathroom.
It was like next to the toilet in the shower.
Yeah. And she goes, I could do this. And I'm like, oh, honey, no.
Cause yeah, it was like $600.
Yeah, it was like $600 a month where, you know, it was Redondo Beach, right? So, because we're thinking, oh, budget like $600-$700 for rent. Well, you get nothing for that.
You don't get that.
Right. So then we looked at the other place that I think was like about $900, and then the guys, he never got back to us. He said, no, I'm having second thoughts.
Yeah, and we checked out of the hotel.
Yeah, checked out of the hotel.
All the way there with all my bags, and we're sitting on the steps, on the stoop, right outside of the
and he wasn't answering his phone. I'm like, we're here. Can we come? And he said, oh, no, I changed my mind because she doesn't have credit, and if you co-sign and you're in Illinois, I can't come after you if you're in Illinois.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, can she prepay 6 months? Because it was a month-to-month thing. Because we didn't know. We didn't want to do a year lease because we didn't know how long she would be out here or, you know, if she'd like it. So we figured we'd find a month-to-month. So we're looking at each other going, now what do we do? So we go back to the hotel, check in. Hi, buddy, the Indian guy that was working the counter. He's like, oh, you are back. Welcome back to the hotel. We recheck in. And then it was Friday night. So... We called places on Saturday. Well, apartment complexes were closed on Saturdays.
Yeah.
You know, so we just went through westsiderentals.com.
Right.
And found the one place that the woman was renting is one bedroom for like 11.
It was $1,125.
Wow.
$1,125 a month.
Yeah.
But it was a lot more than we budgeted for her to be out here.
Obviously,
but
and it was like super small.
Yeah, but walking into it, you're like, oh, I love it because it was so much bigger than like that little garage room.
Right. And it was one bedroom. Like it actually had a bedroom where everything else was like a studio.
Right.
You know, kind of bachelor sort of feel. So.
Right. And it had a carport and thought, well, okay, just bite the bullet. And so, you know, then the woman again said, well, you have to do a credit report. And I said, well, again, she doesn't have credit, but she doesn't have debt. I could co-sign. And so she said, no, she said, you know what? She was, my son was, what, like 23 or 24 at the time. And she goes, he's still living at home. He has no ambition. Your daughter's 19. She's coming out here. She said, I'm going to do it just based on, you know, good faith.
Very good.
And so she,
yeah,
and
she's
then,
really nice.
Right. And then that was Saturday. You moved in on Monday because the girl was still moving out of the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Big Lots or one of those places to buy your microwave, your Big futon.
Your... I furnished my entire apartment with my Big Lots. My futon and everything.
Your two little dishes. Oh, it was pathetic.
Yeah,
she bought one plain white dish because it was cheaper. And then she bought one fancy dish for like 50 cents more.
This is my happy plate. Yes, I literally had two of everything. I just had like two plates.
Well, you don't need more than that. I mean,
you
get your own apartment.
And we brought some
stuff
from home, but So then she got settled in, and then I left.
Now, were you concerned when she said she wanted to leave at 19 and move to another city and stuff?
I mean, ever since she was little, she knew she wanted to, you know, be an actress or live in Hollywood. That was just something she always talked about doing. So it's just something that we all knew she would do. And she, I know you told the story, graduated from high school early.
Right.
To get her. She was always focused on her goals, her dreams. And because she did, she didn't really fit in with a lot of the kids. She was like, she's an old soul. So she would have better conversation with older people, the teachers or the lunch moms or something, as opposed to the kids. Kids were really mean to her.
Really?
And she wouldn't put up with it. She would just like walk away from it and ignore it. And it hurt me as a mom because it's like, I wanted my daughter to have friends and be popular. But they were just so mean, you know, and it was like,
and kids go through those stages.
Oh,
it was
terrible,
you know? I mean,
terrible, but she never let it bother her. And one day, I don't even know how old you were, maybe 9, 10 years old, maybe a little older. We were watching True Hollywood Stories, and they were talking about Cher, and she was saying how she didn't have any friends, and she was outcast, and she was bullied, and she just did her own thing. And she looked at me, and she, you know, Mia put her hands on my face. She said, "See, Mom, this is what I have to go through. This is what they all go through. So I'm okay with it." And I'm like, "That's so smart, you know, for her to know that I'll take all the BS, I'll take all the haters, I'll take all the backstabbing, because this is what they all have to go through."
Right.
And that made me feel better. You know, here she's consoling me as a mom, because as a mom, you want your kid to, you know, have a lot of friends, but. You know, she had her couple little friends, but the rest were just mean.
Yeah.
And even me being a Girl Scout leader, and I would see how they would just outcast her. Like, they would all, if she was sitting at the table with them, they would get up and go to another table. I'm like,
hey. Really?
Even sleepovers. She put her sleeping bag down, and if by the other kids, they would take theirs and move it to a different spot.
Really?
And after she would tell me the story, I'm like, that's it. Don't even go. Because I didn't want her to be subjected to that.
Right, right.
You know, it was,
I mean, do you think there was some kind of jealousy or something?
Oh, sure it was. Yeah, right? Because she started doing the professional theater at 9 years old. Acting at 9 years old, you're doing commercials, and you did the American Girl show at 10 years old for almost 3 years. Mm-hmm. And five shows a week, she'd be doing, you know, going downtown in the summer.
Sometimes two shows a day.
Mm-hmm. During school, it was a Thursday through Sunday that we went downtown. She'd do her homework in the car. She'd eat in the car.
Wow.
You know, on weekends when they would have kids' birthday parties or sleepovers, she was, "Oh, I can't. I have a show tomorrow." But, you know, I felt like, are you missing out on the kid's life? But she goes, not really. And I saw how they treated her. I'm like, so she was always focused on what you want to do. She never let it bother her.
Wow, that's amazing.
So that's where I just felt that she's an old soul, because even on the playground, she would talk to the principal or the teachers. That's who she would have full conversations with. You know, not the kids running around, you know, playing.
I never really played at recess.
Right, you were just always
kind of
talking.
Sat on the bench and talk to the teacher.
Right, talk to the adults. Yeah,
you know.
Well, that's tough. I mean, kids are mean, you know, like you said.
Terrible.
Kids are mean until, and it doesn't even stop in high school, you know.
Right, high school, when she went to high school, I said, "I'm not going to redo your headshots. Just go to high school, be a normal kid."
Right.
Just, you know, don't do any of the other stuff, the commercials, the, you know, modeling. Just be normal. And I thought once she'd go to high school, then they'd see how, you know, how fun she is and how nice and sweet she is, and she'd have all these friends.
Right.
Well, it was the same kids, though. It's not like she was at a school with all new kids.
Right.
It was the same little punky, bratty kids that grew up to be bratty teenagers.
Right.
And so she's in high school and tries out for, I know you talked about this, tried out for cheerleading, and she made the JV squad. Mm. And I'm thinking, oh, good, now maybe they'll give her credit where credit's due. She, you know, she's not the freshman squad. She was good enough to be on the JV squad. Well, the JV squad is filled with sophomores and a couple juniors, and they looked at her as, oh, you're a freshman. What are you doing on our squad? And the freshman girls, instead of looking up to her, go, wow, you know, Mia made the JV squad. They're like, who does she think she is on this JV squad,
you know?
So she fell through the crack. And then you talked about this before, too, trying out for the play.
Right.
She didn't even try out for the lead. She tried out for one of the, you know, secondary people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And because kind of the rule of thumb with theater in high school was that the seniors get the leads, and then it's a pecking order, you know, the freshmen, and she were a sophomore that year.
Mm-hmm.
But she tried out, and it was a little Shop of Horrors, and she tried out for one of the secondary people, but they asked her to read for Audrey.
Uh-huh.
Well, the next day when they put up the list at school, people were congratulating her, and she thought, oh, they're just making fun of me. I probably didn't even make the chorus, you know? So they're like, oh, wow, you got the lead. And she's like, oh, they're just being mean now.
Yeah.
And then when she was looking at the list, I don't know if you called me from school or texted me from school.
Yeah, no, I think I went to the bathroom in college because we weren't even really supposed to use our cell phones, but I always had mine on me.
Right.
You know, I think I went into the bathroom stall. It was very Natalie Portman in Black Swan, but just not quite as dramatic. You know, she gets the part and she goes in the bathroom stall and she's like, mommy, you know, she has like her whole thing. It wasn't quite as dramatic, but it was, you know, very similar to that excitement.
Okay, well, let's take a break, guys, because our guest is calling. So let's take that. And good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead. Hello.
Hi. Oh, hi. This is Lisa Nate Jones. How are you this morning?
Good, Lisa. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. I got this great beach view here today, so I'm not used to that. I'm from Colorado. It's mountains where I'm at.
Yeah, I know.
Nice.
So you're at the beach this morning.
I am. I'm in Santa Monica. That's where we chose to stay so I could sneak some words in between meetings, and that's been great.
Wonderful. So you're from Colorado.
Well, I'm actually from Texas, but I've been living in Colorado the last few years, and it's a nice change. It's a lot like here in that the weather's very mild year-round, unlike Texas where we need a towel to touch our steering wheel and you need a towel to sit on to get in your car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. So So you moved because of the heat or what? Why did you move to Colorado?
I moved to New York to start because my fiance was going to go to med school up there, but then he moved down to a school in Colorado, and we like it so much better. I'm so glad we did that for all kinds of reasons. I mean, I like New York, I do,
right.
But Colorado is just a little different lifestyle.
Yeah, definitely, you know, and it's funny how it's usually, you know, following the man or the woman to another place, you know.
Yeah. It does happen that way. Well, yeah.
Hey, when you're in love, you know, you do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just hope you pick the right person to follow.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, that takes some talent, I guess, to figure out who it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if we all ever completely master that talent.
That's true, yeah. So you have an interesting story. You weren't always a writer, right?
No, I wasn't. You know, it's kind of strange. I did the whole, I lived in Austin, Texas, which, you know, is a big film capital. So I did a lot of independent film and some acting and a little bit of script writing. And then life kind of got, you know, a hold of me. And somehow I ended up in the corporate world running a staffing agency, a multi-state staffing agency, and completely got away from that. And, you know, I think I fed my creative juices by way of, I'm building this business. But, you know, if you're the creative type, that never really truly works for you. You convince
right.
yourself, but mm-hmm. it doesn't work.
That's true. Yeah, you're not for a 9-to-5 type of a job. You're more
yeah.
creative and stuff. Yeah.
Well, and for me, it was more like 80 hours a week. But I think you
wow.
need that, unfortunately, a lot of times to make it in any business. But yeah, so I was in an airport one day. I was really getting burned out on the business, and it was at a time where I thought, you know, I'm at this age where if I don't do something and do it now, will I have the courage to do it later? And I don't know what it was that day. I picked up a book in the airport and said, I'm going to read instead of work. And I just knew. I had been starting to do some more acting on the side again. I'd been doing some script writing, and I thought, this is it.
Mm.
And so started writing, and you know, the thing I hear from people so many times, I want to write a book. I mean, it's like anything else in life. You really have to have a moment where you say you're just going to do it, period.
That's true, yeah. I mean, it takes a lot of commitment to write a book, and because it takes a while, you know, you start, you probably don't know how it's going to end, and it's quite, you know, quite an undertaking, I think, to write a book. So did you start writing while you were still working at the staffing agency? I did,
but and I finished a book, and of course it was horrible. It was one of those put under the bed kind of things, but it was enough to make me realize that I was pretty miserable. And when I sold the business, I had an option. If I stayed in for 5 years, I would make 6 figures a year for those 5 years, or I could walk away and pretty much hand in my business. Because in the staffing business, you're so integrated with your customers. Everybody knows you. They work with you because of you. And I dared to walk away with nothing. Mm-hmm. People thought I was crazy. And years into it, when I was a dirt poor, starving artist, I thought I was crazy too.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I saw an ad for buying and selling storage units. It was before the storage wars existed.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, gosh, we should try this. Maybe we can make some extra money. Because my fiance at the time, he was a physical therapist, and their office had just gotten shut down for IRS issues. And I was just like, oh, my God, this can't be happening.
Mm-hmm.
So he went, and we did well. Although that first unit, I'm like, you can spend $300, that's it. And he comes back, and he spent $800, and that was like it. We were over. But we made $3,000 on that unit in a week, and we were hooked. But it was actually probably a year and a half later that he found a journal, and he started reading it. And, I mean, he was such a chick. It was like, oh, my God, she's pregnant. Oh, my God, she's dead next door. I mean, but his thought, he was like, you know, it's so absorbing, though, this idea that somebody else's life is more interesting than yours, that they have this drama going on, that you relate to their emotions.
Right.
And he was like, you have to write something, you know, that's a sexy mystery where somebody dies or they're zombies.
Yeah.
And because guys seem to all think that zombies make everything better.
I know. I don't know what it is with the zombies lately. You know, every movie, every book is zombies
yeah.
now.
Yeah, yeah, well, World War Z, which I haven't seen and I'm dying to see. I mean, I'm not a zombie person, but I guess it's the Brad Pitt pull.
Yeah, there you go. So you started writing your books. What was the first one that you wrote?
I started out just writing those little cheesy category novels because that's where I got my break. So unfulfilling, but I have to say that I learned so much from my editors that, you know, I worked with there, and I think that it became a real part of what helped me develop as a good writer. I mean, the biggest thing I can tell anybody if they're writing scripts, if they're acting, if they're writing books, if they're doing whatever it might be is, you know, you have to hone your craft. You have to work at it, work at it, work at it. You aren't just good because you want to be good.
Right. No, absolutely. And you got to put your heart into it.
Yeah,
you do, you do. And so when this idea came up, I think, you know, I was ready to write it when I finally got the chance to write it. I was very contracted writing those little category novels, making school teacher pay, and I couldn't write that idea at the time. But by the time I could, it was kind of ironic because 50 Shades had come about and Storage Wars had come about, and all of a sudden it was the right time to market that book in a certain way too, or this series. And so I wrote it, and it became life-changing for me. You know, it changed, you know, everything for us, it financially, career-wise. It was like everything that I'd been working towards finally came together. It's so strange how in life you think, oh, something bad's happening. Like, we needed money, so we went to do the storage unit.
Right.
But how sometimes there can be this bigger picture that that day that we bought that first storage unit mm-hmm. was a day that changed our lives.
Mm. Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. So so you've written quite a few books. I see you have like a few series, right? Not just one?
Yeah, I do. I mean, being that workaholic that I am, I mean, I, you know, I tell people one book does not make a career. It's very rare that that's the case. You know, I write about 3 or 4 books a year.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and for this series, I just contracted a couple more books within this series. So it'll, you know, I'll have all those written by the middle of next year or so. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a job. It's not, I think people think, oh, you're a romance novelist or you're a mystery novelist and you go and you do all this research or whatever it might be and you, you know, sit and, you know, eat bonbons and write the book. But it's not like that. I mean, it's, you know, you have to turn out the books. You have to be there by production deadline. You have to, and they have to be good. You can't just write a book. It has to be good.
Yeah,
you
obviously.
Won't have a following.
That's true, yeah. And then, you know, you probably won't be able to interest the publisher either. So, how difficult was it to find a publisher, a company that would be, take you on and promote and publish your books?
Well, you know, I got into the category novels fairly quickly. I was very fortunate, but those novels are not going to make you a household name. They're not going to get you, you know, options for, you know, other things that can happen with your books. But they did, you know, I did fairly quickly at least get that, you know, recognition that I could write a book, which I think was good for me because it kept me going. And again, I learned a lot from it, but it took me many, many years to finally, you know, write the right series. It was, you know, they say many times, oh, you're an overnight success in 7 or 10 years. And that's how it was for me. I turned this out. It's like actors taking little small roles, trying to get to the right place. And then all of a sudden everybody knows who they are. And then you look back and you go, oh, look, that's such and such from such and such, you know, and you don't realize they've been around forever trying to make it. And that's how it was for me.
That's
true. Yeah. So I see, I mean, I'm looking here on your website. It seems like a book is published every month. You know, I mean, look at that.
Yeah,
January,
well,
February, kinda, March. Go ahead.
It looks like that. You know, I kind of got a lot of stuff in the hopper that all of a sudden it comes out. So, you know, it looks like I'm writing one a month, but in reality, you know, like the book that just came out in September, I turned that in January. So there's a wait process.
I see. Okay. Okay. All right. So, what... I mean, so you write, usually it's like romance novels? Is that the genre?
Well, no, this series that's done so well for me, I would classify them as erotic thrillers. It's a very, I say 50 Shades only because I want people to get the idea that there is a dark, sexy element, and it does really push the limits, but it's very different than 50 Shades. And then I use the mystery element of Pretty Little Liars, or a lot of people know Lost minus the Black Smoke because there's no paranormal to them. And it's a big mystery. I mean, she finds her friend buys a journal and a storage unit, and or she buys a storage unit and finds a journal. But then she elopes and hands it to the main heroine in the story, who's a school teacher, and she starts reading this journal, and she starts thinking, oh, my God, what has happened to them? They're very sexy and erotic, but they also kind of turn ominous. you know, has somebody, one of these men that are in this journal, done something to her? Why did she leave her entire life behind? And she just happens to work in an art gallery, which is her real dream. She's a school teacher who feels like she can't make a living at that. And so she goes and looks for her, and she gets involved with the people that she was involved with, and she's very prim and proper, but gets pulled into kind of this dark erotic world as well, and into the art world. And you don't know, is she trusting, especially if she gets involved with this one particular man and kind of goes into some darker places, is she allowing herself to go that place? I mean, the most exposed place we often go is in our sexual life.
Right.
And, you know, is she trusting, and is the journal writer dead because she's supposedly on this extended vacation? Is she going to end up dead? You know, it's a big mystery that unravels, and so it's definitely... It's the mystery, I think, that draws people. It's not just about, oh, people go and, you know, there's this fluffy romance. Very far from it. Bad things happen in these books. I do not promise people that they're going to be easy reads.
Right.
They're going to go uncomfortable places. You know, but real life is uncomfortable. People cheat. People die. People have things happen. And I think that, you know, when you go and you read a book, and even if it's supposed to be a romance, so to speak, if everything comes together so perfect, we kind of go, yeah, right, like that really happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now the latest book is The Secret Life of Amy Benson, right? Is that the latest one?
That's my other series. It's not actually this main series that really about the storage unit, but yeah, it's my newest series. It's 4 weeks on the USA Today list. It's a thriller as well. She basically, when she's 18, her family is killed in a house fire, and a stranger comes to her. And her family was involved in some interesting stuff, but she, a stranger comes to her and pretty much puts her in hiding and says, you know, there's something that happened with your family. You're going to die too. And she spends 6 years, this innocent person who kind of stays in hiding until the book starts. She walks out of a bathroom in a big museum event that's going on, and it pretty much says they found you and you have to go back into hiding. And so the story is about, she's finally, okay, I'm older now. I'm not going to let my life just be ran by this stranger telling me that I have to hide.
Right.
And, you know, her trying to figure out what happened to her and her family. And so and she comes across this particular man that gets very deeply involved with her, and you don't know, is he, you know, a part of it all. So it's, again, I obviously love that whole mystery element of things.
Yeah. No, and you've got quite a few series here. I mean, you've written a lot. And so, you know, obviously you've had all this inside of you that you needed to let out. And you obviously can't do that in a staffing firm, you know.
No, you can't. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think that partially one of the reasons why I was such a workaholic with that was there was always that need to fulfill something that I thought, oh, you know, if I work a little harder, if I open another office, if I do this or that, maybe I'll fulfill that. Although I'm still a complete workaholic now. I mean, I work 7 days a week. One of the reasons I get so many books done is because once I start a book, I live that experience night and day. I just can't not.
Yeah. And you also have series on vampires and werewolves and stuff, so you've covered the whole gamut here pretty much.
Yeah, I love paranormal. Unfortunately, it's not a very hot reading ticket right now. Even if you look at what's going on with movies and television and stuff right now, there's some good stuff on television, Walking Dead and stuff like that, but I mean, the amount of things that are... I hope that seeing some of these TV things that are coming... to be paranormal or showing that market's going to trigger back. But if you look at recent movies and book adaptions and such, that paranormal stuff doesn't seem to be resonating very much. I don't know. Maybe people got burned out with Twilight because it was so big for so long.
Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I think vampires are still going strong in zombies and stuff. I mean, all over the place, you know. I don't see the fascination with these things, but, you know, what can I tell you, you know? I don't get it.
Well, compared to where they were, they're not booming like they were, but I think maybe there might be a trend towards it going back. I certainly think zombies don't seem to ever go out. I don't know what it is about zombies. Zombies
yeah.
Just
people like that.
They do. I mean, And not just men, but I mean, every man in my life loves them, and I always get dragged to the scariest ones. But, and you know, the way I look at that, even though I don't like them, is, and I get very scared when I write my books and I have to write fear. I think, okay, that moment when I was sitting in that zombie movie I didn't want to be in, that fear is what I need to tap into.
Yeah, sounds good. And okay, so now in the Inside Out series, the latest one is Revealing Us. Is that the one that just came out?
Yep, that's it. Okay. That's the third book in that series, and that's the one with the journals and the storage unit, and it'll be continuing next year. That's really my baby. That's the one that's very, very special to me, and it really helped change my life.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing. Well, I mean, you've definitely got a body of work here, I gotta say, you know, and very admirable, and you know, I mean, I don't know when I could start reading this and finish reading this. I mean, there's just so much, you know. But it's, you know, I mean, I'm sure it's like, you know, you're leaving something behind. It's really cool, you know. And it's always going to be up there. And it's, you know, I mean, there's a lot of books, you know. So you're very productive, obviously, and we admire that.
Well, you know, I find a lot of people are really, really intrigued with this series because I can't believe how obsessed people are with Storage Wars. They really are, and I actually have kind of gotten a relationship with some of the folks over there because of the books, and, you know, it's cool to listen to them talk about the things that they found and compare notes to the things that we found, and but I mean, yeah, it's crazy because, you know, the same thing I tried to tap in with the books is the same thing that I felt and that a lot of people talk to me about with the storage units is, you know, my gosh, why would people walk away from their entire life? I mean, then they love to hear the crazy, crazy, crazy stories of some of the things that we find in storage units.
Yeah, that's
true. My gosh, I mean, you just wouldn't, you know, it's amazing. Some of the amazing things that you find, you know, I mean, one of my favorite units that we had was we bought a unit that had 80s movie posters in it, and it used to be an 80s video store. Well, it was just thousands of posters, and wow. At the time, I had no idea we were talking about horror flicks and stuff, these cult horror movies, these B movies that never came out in the theaters. Oh my God, people go crazy, pay hundreds of dollars for those posters.
Wow, that's amazing. They become like cultish.
These B cult classic horror movies, I had no idea that they are huge following for those things. But we had the first UFC poster ever made in that unit, and of course at the time we were broke and my fiance was like, I want to keep it. I'm like, no, that thing's gonna sell for big money. You are letting it go. But yeah, just, you know, so sometimes it's fun stuff that we find in there, but it could be really sad too. I mean, it could be heartbreaking to go, okay, you figure out this person died and that's why their unit's, you know, up for auction, or that you could tell that somebody cheated on somebody. I mean, old answering machines. Yes, some of these units have been there for that long. I mean, just crazy to figure things out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, amazing. Lisa Renee Jones, very impressive stuff. Everybody go out and get the books. I'm sure they're available everywhere.
They are. They're in bookstores now, the Inside Out series. The first book is If I Were You, and it's really important to start with that one because each book ends and starts the next moment from that book. So If I Were You, and you can get it in any bookstores, and be in the series is going to be in Target October 20th too, if you happen to be in a Target store and think of it.
Wow, very exciting.
Cool.
So you're here in LA just visiting, promoting the books?
Yes, some business stuff related to the books, so that's been fun. So, you know, some exciting stuff going on in the background with the series that I can't quite talk about yet, but I'm looking forward to when I can.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, if you're in Hollywood, I think we can pretty much presume what it's going to be. But
there's some good stuff for sure going on.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for your time, and all the best to you.
Continued thank you.
Bye-bye. Success. Bye-bye. Wow. I don't know how many people can write. I mean, how people can write so many books, you
that's
know?
A lot of
if
stuff.
I had to write one, I mean, I'd be crazy, you know, because it's like you don't know how long it's going to take. You don't see the end of it, you know. But I think after you've written a few, then you get a feel for it. You know, you just kind of like crank them out. You know? Right.
Well, and I wonder, too, if they have the beginning, middle, end in mind, or do they just start writing and see where it goes?
Right. I wonder about that, too. And yeah. I think sometimes yeah, it's different. Some don't know how it's going to develop, and some right. do, you know. So it's, yeah, it's interesting how people write books. I love to read, you know. And I'm always fascinated by how people write and all that stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. And, but, yeah, one thing I have to tell writers is that you got to be very careful with the grammar, with the spelling, with everything. Because, you know, people notice these things. I notice right. these things, you know.
Right, yeah.
And I don't believe how sometimes, I'm not saying this is Lisa's books. I'm just saying in general that some books are just not readable. I mean, nobody went through
well,
the trouble of editing it.
Well, is that what an editor is supposed to do?
Yeah.
Does an editor catch on
yeah.
that,
how come you don't edit this? There's proofreaders. Mm. There's everything, you know. And you ask yourself, I mean, there's been like probably dozens of people read this book and nobody caught this mistake, you know.
Right.
So that's crazy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but that's it. So back to we have Mia's mom here, by the way, for those of you just joining us.
Yay.
She's visiting her from Chicago. And,
right, I think I always tell Mia, your life is a book. It's either going to be a movie or a book.
Really?
So just,
oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I know.
Seriously, the things that happen, even if this was a movie or a book, people would think, oh, this is made up.
Right.
So
fiction,
whenever
right?
something happens that's just true. So bizarre, it's like, okay, this is for the book. One more for the
well,
story.
Well, that's new to us. We didn't know that she went through things and stuff.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Like what?
Yeah, and she was always a bigger person, you know,
yeah.
always. Like, I was talking about the play. She tried out for the play, and then she was actually, she got the lead. She got the lead of Audrey.
Right.
And they were telling her she did, and she saw it on the list, and then she called. Yeah, that's right, because you call, you're
yeah,
like, Mom, I got the lead. I'm like, you're kidding, right? You know? No, I got the lead, and she didn't even try out for the lead, but because she's that good. She's
yeah.
very talented. So
that's true, yeah.
But there were all the senior girls were mad, and a lot of them dropped out because they didn't think it was fair, but... You know, what are you going to do? So
yeah,
she always, like,
exactly.
fell through the cracks. Like, I'm thinking, oh, wow, now maybe she'll get props. People go, oh, wow, she... No. You know, they were, oh, she's a sophomore. She shouldn't be a lead. You know how many people have been waiting for that part? It wasn't her fault, you know?
exactly.
Then it was said, oh, well, what cheerleading too? Oh, her,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, her mother probably paid them off. So
yeah.
then I get dragged into this.
Right.
It's like, really?
Yeah,
I can't just be proud of my child, you know? I know. Oh,
yeah.
Yes, that was always it. You know?
People
oh.
are envious. People
oh, yeah.
just, you know, they can't stand to see people
right.
succeed,
right,
you know?
Right, so just ignore it. There's nothing you could do. I say there's no dealing with crazy, you know? You
right.
just got to
right.
walk away and... You know, wish them the best. That's what I've always taught my kids. You
right.
Because people are going to try to tear you down, and there's nothing you can really do. You really can't do anything to defend yourself, or you're playing their game.
Well, that's true.
So you
yeah.
just walk away. And, you
yeah.
know, a lot of it was just seeing how she grew up with really how, I mean, even her, she graduated as a junior, as we talked about, because she had enough credits. She went to summer school, and she wanted to get out of there because she wanted to move on with her life. She
right.
went to college then, got her associate's degree. And then that's when she had her stint with Hooters for a little bit. And,
right.
you know, she did that. And then she came out here. But,
yeah.
you know, she's very loyal, very dedicated. Even she was supposed to be out here in September of 2009.
Right.
And but because she was in the Hooters calendar and the Hooters pageant and they wanted her to tour, she stayed until January because she said,
oh.
I told them I would. You
yeah.
know, and even though she had a little part in the show out here, she was on Zeke and Luther, the Disney show. You came out in November for a couple of weeks and did some work, but then came back and did the touring. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, she just made sure that she filled all her obligations, and that's one thing I admire about her. She's very dedicated.
Yeah. So I would imagine you always encouraged her and stuff, obviously, you
oh,
know,
absolutely.
Which is amazing because many parents are not like that. They're like, get a real job, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. She's worked hard, and she's been working since she was 9 years old making a paycheck.
Wow.
So the money she made along the way, she paid for her own college. She bought her own car. She had her own money to move out here. And then even being out here, I told her, because, you know, I own a travel agency. We all know we were hit hard, you know, ever since September 11. We've
right.
rebounded. We're doing well now. But I took the cut in pay. I, you know, said, I'll pay my employees. I sacrificed to keep the business going.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, my own personal life ran into financial troubles, you know, so mm-hmm. you've got that building up. So when she moved out here, I said, honey, I can't afford to help you.
Right.
It's not that I don't want to. It's not like I'm teaching you a lesson. I can't, you
right.
know, because we were, you know, strapped with, you know, our finances. And so
mm-hmm.
she had saved up all of her money from the time she was 9 years old working.
Wow.
And, you know, she made some, you know, pretty good money with the show, the American Girl show, and then her
mm-hmm.
commercials and stuff, and saved it. And, you know, and then she came out here, she would have that to fall back on.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, so you must be proud of her.
Very proud.
Yeah.
Very proud.
That's cool.
Yes.
was she always like very pretty and stuff in school and,
yes.
and that too? So yes. you see,
no.
I
she doesn't. She looks at pictures. And, oh, look at I was a dork. She calls herself a nerd or a dork. But
when I was wearing glasses.
Yeah, the, well, you wore glasses, but
I know, but they were like, I mean, they were bad.
Well,
they were really
you know, we tell
bad.
The story. We didn't know just how blind she was because she was really. What, negative eight, so you're legally
wow.
blind
right,
by the time
blind.
You had your LASIK mm-hmm. surgery. But when she went 5 years old, you go for your checkup for your eyes for kindergarten. And the nurse said, okay, look at the chart. They had a sailboat and all the pictures, you know. Uh-huh. Cause, you know, so she's like, okay, look at the chart. And Mia's looking at the nurse, where the voice is coming from. No, no, look at the chart. What do you see at top? And she's like looking around.
Wow.
And she goes, you need to get to an eye doctor. And I said, okay. So we took an eye doctor and he said, oh, wow. I think you were like a negative four back then or
ooh.
Something. And so they got glasses. They had to be thick, poor uh-huh. little thing. Mm-hmm. And, but we tell the story, we would say, oh, look at the bird in the tree. And my son would say, oh yeah, I see it on the branch. And Mia would say, where's the tree?
Yeah.
She couldn't even see the big tree behind the
oh,
house.
Wow.
I know, it felt
that's
so bad.
Huh?
We didn't know that she, well, and she didn't know otherwise because,
yes.
you know, she was born, you know, up to 0 to 5 years old, she, that's all she knew.
Wow.
She didn't know I can't see.
And suddenly
clear.
The world mm-hmm. opened up for you as soon as you put glasses
right,
on.
Right, hit her glasses.
So.
And then, you know, the kids made fun of her because she was the only one, you know, in kindergarten with glasses. And then, yeah.
Yeah.
So she would, but then at 9 years old, you got contacts and you were mm-hmm. very responsible with them.
Right.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
And
now she can look at all of them and go, na, 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 na.
You know, it's funny.
Look at me.
Because she won't even do that. Like, people, sometimes she'll see people back
right,
at home
yeah.
and they'll say, oh, wow, tell people eat their heart out, you know. And she's like, no, I don't wish bad on people.
Right.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, I feel bad for people when they have so much hate for somebody when I've done nothing to them. And they wake up every day and want to try to ruin my life. She goes, I feel bad for them.
Right.
Because,
they're
you
miserable.
Know, what kind of life is that? Right.
Right.
So she's always been, she's a lot bigger person than I am, you know, because
yeah.
a lot of this stuff bothered me. But, you know, we would kind of keep each other in check. But she would say, you know, no, Mom, mm-hmm. you know, it's the right thing to do. Just, you know, wish them well.
Right.
Even when she's had relationships and breakups, you know, and she's just like, no, I wish them well. Things didn't work out. I focus on the good. I learn from the bad and life goes on.
Wow.
You know, and.
So you raised her right.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
Good
yeah.
job.
Very proud of her.
Yeah. And then you have a son also
yes.
who's younger,
yes.
right?
Yes. I know you called him on his birthday. And,
yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Sean. Hey, Shawnee.
Yeah.
I'll have him listen to this later.
Yeah.
Oh, and a shout out to my mom and dad.
Oh.
My mom went to Amy College today, right?
Oh.
Wow.
So, yeah, my mom's doing pretty well.
How old is she?
She just turned 77.
Really?
Yep.
Wow,
yep.
young.
On Monday, she turned 77.
Very young.
So, yeah. So, my
very
mom
cool.
and dad are great. And shout out to my sister, Katie. My niece and nephew.
Yeah. How many? Do you
anybody.
Have just one sister? Do you have a few
I have
siblings?
One sister. She's my partner.
Really?
In business, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So,
you guys must get along, too.
We do. We're so opposite, but that's what makes it work. But,
right.
yeah, we've worked together since we opened our business in 1985.
Oh, wow.
And before that, we worked together for a different company, but we've always worked together. So,
yeah.
And it works well. I wouldn't know what I would do if I wasn't, you know, partners with her.
Yeah.
So
you guys were hurt by 9/11, you said.
Yes.
But it's also the internet, right? I mean, you've got Expedia
yes
and all
and no.
that. They took
I mean,
away
there's
the...
still, once we got our, you know, we used to have a staff of 24 people.
Mm.
And then over the years, it just got smaller. Now we have four.
Mm.
And we used to have our own big office. But once, you know, September 11 hit and I had to let people go and some people were just like, listen, I'm just going to stay home. I have kids or, you know, so it wasn't like a firing squad. You know, we didn't have to really have
right.
that conversation, but it was just kind of understood, you know, that, you know, there is no business. And,
right.
But once we moved our office, we now share our office with another agency. And so we share the expenses. It's smaller. We share the rent,
nice.
We share the bills. So once we got my expenses in check, then we were able to recoup and then start making money. So we're doing well now. We're, you know,
really nice.
Once we got out of, you know, debt at the other place. But, you know, it's just part of life. I mean,
yeah.
Who isn't in debt, you know?
Yeah, and besides, things
except
change
me,
all the
except
time.
Except me, yeah.
Because she saw the horror stories. I tell my kids, you know, it's you live life good, and we lived great.
Right.
For
mm-hmm.
many, many years.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And once, you know,
childhood.
Once you're hit with those, you know,
yeah.
problems with money and business and...
Yeah, you know, changes you just, everything. Yeah.
I know, it does. It scared me enough into starvation. You know, it's like I'd rather like just pay my bills and like not eat than be like charging food on
yeah,
a credit card
come on, this is
and
ridiculous.
Then going into debt. But you know, it's like it scared me, you know, so much into it. But I'm glad. It did. I'm glad that
well, because
I'm not
you got to see just what
that.
It's like. It's not that we did anything wrong, you know.
Right.
Things happen. You know, businesses, you know, companies didn't travel as much. People weren't going on vacations. Yeah. And so it just, you know, and you're just kind of frozen going, what do I do? This is all I know. But, mm-hmm. you know, so they, my son and my daughter got to, you know, our life lessons, you know, save mm-hmm. your, not that we didn't save money, but we spent it, you know.
Right,
the
exactly.
boats, the fancy cars, the vacations all the time, mm-hmm. the nice house. You know, we weren't living way without our means, but then once the rug gets pulled out from under you, now you don't have backup. You
right.
know? So now you've got that's the stress true. And the, you know, when Mia was talking, I don't know, a couple months ago, she's like, oh, yeah, my mom and I, you know, she's so skinny, we wear the same clothes. Well, this is what stress of finances does to you. I'm like, why is she telling people that? I'm not skinny anymore. I put on some weight. But there was a time when, yeah, we would share clothes. And
wow,
yeah. so
nice.
I know.
Okay, well, Mia's mom, Vera, thank you so much for joining us.
That was fun.
Yes.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Anytime.
Tell my life story.
How long are you staying?
I go back on Tuesday, so
oh, okay.
I'll probably you know yeah, be here Monday.
You guys will have some fun. Are you gonna take her to a pool party or something?
Oh gosh,
that's where she hangs out all
yeah,
the time.
You know, she'll always invite me to some of the things, then I go home and go to sleep while she stays out. So well, thanks
all
for having
right.
me.
Of course, thank you all for joining us. Tomorrow we won't be on the air. We got to take a day off, mm-hmm. and so we'll see everybody on Monday.
All right,
take
have
care.
A great weekend.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.